Good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to call the House Finance Committee. Today is April 17th, 2024. It's 1:54 p.m., a little bit later than we originally planned, but we've got a lot going on this afternoon already. And present at the table are Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Clome, Representative Ortiz, Representative Conk, Representative Tomaszewski, Co-Chairs Foster, Johnson, and myself, Co-Chair Edgman. I expect that others will arrive here shortly. The purpose of today's meeting is to, I guess, in very layperson's terms, is to sort of begin our journey on the capital budget. We're planning to hear from the OMB director when she arrives concerning the governor's budget submission and the changes that were made to the governor's original capital budget in the Senate side. And our plan next week is to actually have the co-chair from the other body's staff come forward and walk through the capital budget and all the changes that were made in the Senate. Today we'd like to hear in a second, actually begin the capital budget process by hearing the governor's original capital budget. But as well, we've added in a couple of the items for today's hearing, and not seeing the OMB director here yet, I think what we'll do is flip the schedule around, and our plan is to, at some point, probably last, get an update, not a very extensive presentation, but an update on the STIP process and the amendments. We've got Mr. Mills here from the departments in the audience, and the regional directors from DOT, if we want to get into more extensive questioning. But we also have, our hope is, I'm going to do a sound check here in just a second, but our hope is to start with Director Curtis Thayer from the Alaska Energy Authority to get sort of a presentation, an update as well, on what's known colloquially as the GRIP funding, Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership, which is a federal funding and also a match matching requirement that we will talk about later as well. And if I could sort of get the indulgence of the committee, we've got three hearings that could keep us here for a while, but I'm going to try to structure the meeting in a way that allows for, you know, certainly interactive questions and dialogue and what have you, but at the same time keeping an eye on the clock as we go through the presentations today. So, not seeing any comments or questions to come before the committee, I'd like to also, for the record, welcome Representative Stapp. Curtis, can you hear us? And if you can, please put yourself on the record, and we'll begin with your part of the hearing today. Brief at ease. Call meeting back to order. I'll welcome aboard Curtis, if you put your name and state your affiliation, please, and begin your.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. Just as you called me, my line got cut off and I had to call back in. For the record, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority. And I apologize for not being in person in Juneau today, but today we had our AEA board meeting, and I had to be in Anchorage for attendance to that. But what I have here before you is is a GRIP funding and match requirement update for the legislature. And if we could go to slide two, a little bit about the Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership. And that was in October 18th of 2023, the Department of Energy announced $3.5 billion in grid resilience and innovation partnerships. There were over 700 applications and concept papers. 58 were selected, and AEA received the fifth highest award of $206.5 million from the Department of Energy. It does require a commitment to match at 100%, bringing the total project cost to $413 million. These funds were a result of a successful collaboration with the Rail Belt utilities. That's a term that I'm very pleased to say that we've been working together on for the last several years, our relationship. But that's with Chugach Electric, Golden Valley, Homer Electric Association, Matanuska Electric Association, and Seward Electric, owned by the City of Seward. This DOE matching leverages dollar for dollar match of a federal investment. And the goal of this is, the goal of this funding was for a, what we on page three is a Rail Belt Innovation Resilient Project, and that is to run an HVDC submarine cable, also a high voltage direct current cable, submarine cable that parallels from the Kenai Peninsula, about Nikiski, over to Beluga, station Beluga across the inlet, and it creates a much needed redundant system, especially when we have disruptive events, but also allows us to continue to upgrade our transmission lines. The biggest constraint that we have on the rail belt is not the opportunities for renewable, but the transmission lines in which to move that power. And with this allows us to transfer additional Bradley Lake water or additional Bradley Lake. There's a plan for wind and solar on the Kenai Peninsula, and allows us to move that up into the South Central and into Fairbanks. One thing I always like to point out is that 17% of the water or the power from Bradley Lake goes all the way to Fairbanks. So it definitely will aid that. And then with that, the line, there's a map off to the side that just kind of gives you an idea. It's a 39-mile cable. It's overall about 67 miles when you tie it in between the two sections. And on page four, we have what that cable does look like. It being a high voltage, it has an outer sleeve, armored sleeve, and it is about 8 inches in diameter. It would require two lines, and it will roughly carry 250 megawatts of the transfer capability for it. And then if we go to slide five, am I still online, just out of curiosity?
Yes, you are. Coming in loud and clear.
Okay, sorry. I have somebody dialing in, so I was just curious. I'm sorry. On page five is what we call a BESS, which is a battery energy storage system. The GRIP funding is primarily, the way that the award was given, it is for one to do the HVDC line. If there's funding available, then it also, we could use that money for battery energy storage system or BESs in the South Central and in the northern region of Alaska, being the interior of Fairbanks. One thing to be clear, it does not cover the Kenai BESS that's currently in service on the Kenai Peninsula, and it would have to be for new construction to qualify for the federal RIP match. But one of the things is that what a BESS does is it allows us to store power, usually for 2 or 4 hours at a time. The Kenai Peninsula BESS, for example, is 42 megawatts, or 47 megawatts, excuse me. And so it can handle the system, especially if there's problems or concerns with anything tripping online or any oscillation issues that we might have with Bradley. It helps absorb that. And there's a cost savings is because with a battery, you no longer need to have spinning reserve where you have a diesel or a natural gas generator spinning, just waiting for an event to occur and using natural gas to do that. That battery helps absorb that because it's almost instantaneously as far as managing the power system. So again, that's a secondary use of the grant funding. If there's funding available, is for the BESs in the northern and South Central region. As far as on page six, is a little bit of a schedule. For the statutory period, we have 8 years to complete this. It would take an act of Congress to extend it. If we had to extend it, I'm sure others would be doing the same thing. Because supply logistics is our biggest issue on a project of this size and magnitude. But we would hope for the award to be here in the second quarter of 2024. We're in grant negotiations now, and the governor's budget does include the federal grant receipts. And then this summer we spent on preliminary engineering, completing that engineering, looking at routing studies. The biggest challenge, obviously, is Cook Inlet and the routing through Cook Inlet. And then we would need to do a NEPA process, and then contractor selection, and then procuring long lead items and construction, which would be about 3 years for the total construction, but it would be laid by a ship similar to the one that you see here with a self-propelled trencher where it would be buried into Cook Inlet 4 to 5 feet down. We understand there is scouring, and the bottom does move quite a bit, but that would be part of the studies that we'll be conducting this summer and into next summer. On page 7 of your PowerPoint presentation, you know, we talk about why are the transmission upgrades needed. Obviously, one is energy security. One of the biggest issues is not only do we have one line running between Briley Lake into South Central and only one line all the way into Healy. It does split into two lines at Healy. But 4 years ago, we had the Swan Lake fire, which caused the SSQ line down the Kenai Peninsula to be out of service for 4 months. It was a situation where the northern utilities in the summertime had to spend more money on natural gas, which is now not as plentiful, but it cost $12 million more. In addition to that, Homer was using all the power they could, and we were spilling water over Bradley, which is never a situation you want to be in when you just are spilling water over the dam. So with that, this line would prevent a lot of that. We also have the 5 military bases on the rail belt, and that's a key concern. You know, energy diversity, we've depended on natural gas for a very long time. We continue to depend on it, but we need new projects, including renewables, whether that be an expansion of Bradley Lake or wind or solar or some other method. We need to have the transmission lines to carry it. To put it in perspective, the lines on the Kenai Peninsula, the SSQ line, for example, that the state owns and we bought 4 years ago, has not been upgraded in over 40 years. When it was originally put in, there's been upgrades and we've maintained it. But as far as new infrastructure and building it out, we're still stuff that was built in the 1960s. We're using almost 60 years later. And so that's one of the biggest reasons is the diversity. And then the redundant energy supply that we've already talked about in regards to making sure that we have a redundant line, redundancy going north into our most populated areas. As far as the benefits and opportunities of this, the decreased line loss, upgrading the line will substantially reduce energy losses from resistance and contributing to lower energy prices because you won't lose the power. You'll still be able to use it. Grid resilience and stability being a big one. Better cost alignment with the utility and the cost causer, cost payer. Once we have these upgraded, that's going to help our costs. There's a rural benefit to any upgrades is the cost of the power cost equalization program. You look at the blended cost between Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. That gives us a floor. That floor has been roughly about 20 cents. If that floor drops to 19 cents or 18 cents for railroad, then that actually, by formula, allows more money into rural Alaska for the PCE program. So the floor can fluctuate. The cap on PCE is still the same. But if the cost in the railroad goes higher, then actually it adjusts the formula in a negative way. But we actually see this being positive in allowing it to benefit the PCE program according to the statutory formula today. Also, the increased resilience and reliability using BESS's. And again, with the new renewable energies for different projects. And then one of our biggest things is the increased stability of fuel supply diversity and decarbonization solutions as we see this new stability with this upgraded line. On page 9, is this was presented by the department or by the OMB earlier. And this actually, the way this formula or this funding source is we need $206.5 million to match federally. In conversations with the Department of Energy, we do not need all this money up front. But what they do want is a line of sight on knowing where funding sources will come, and they will only reimburse up until the money that we have. So we're not, if we spend $20 million, they will do $20 million. So that's $40 million. They won't go out in front, only what we have. And so what's being proposed in 2025 is the governor's office is proposing using the ADA dividend, $12.7 million towards match. AEA has bonding. We bonded $166 million a couple of years ago for upgrades on the transmission lines, one being the SSQ line that we talked about. That's a $90 million upgrade. We also looked at spending money, $57 million towards batteries, BESs. And then with that, there's about $20 million that was unallocated in the sense there were projects for it, but we had not allocated those funds. And working through the Department of Law and with bond counsel and our bond holders, they will allow us to use $20 million this year of that towards match. And so the state's providing 12.7. The utilities through AEA bonding will provide 20 million. That's $32.7 million. And then the feds will match that. So that gives us a little shy of $66 million of the $413 million project. Which is enough to go into this construction or into this year and into next year. But when you look at the where it says fund sources to be determined, those are cash flow analysis by AEA. We'll have better cash flow analysis after this summer field work. But those are the cash flow of the when we need the next tranches of funding, especially in when you'll see it start to an increase in 2028, 2029, and 2030. Because that's when we're actually purchasing material and actually doing the construction and laying the cable and buying the converters and all those parts. And then it tapers off and hopefully should be wrapped up and completed in 2031 for the total of $413 million. And with that, the last slide, slide 10, I like to share this slide because that's your AEA team. This is the team that's worked together to get this grant along with utilities. We're kind of small but mighty, and it's one of my time. I thank you for indulging me to say thank you to the AA team, and I'm available for any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Thayer. I think there's going to be a number of questions, but I want to start off taking the prerogative of the chair here and give you the opportunity to very clearly lay out sort of the differing interpretations, at least here in the Capitol, about the need to prepare for phase two application, any needs for money, anything that you might know at this point. But can you help the committee understand, and I think you've done a good job in terms of phase one, where we're at now and what we might need to, you know, anticipate in the coming years. But can you talk a little bit about phase two and any interplay at this time that you know about between phase one and phase two?
Mr. Chair, yes. If you don't mind, instead of phase, I'm going to use round to me, because a phase is a phase of the same project, and there are two projects, but they're very similar in nature. This GRIP 3, round one, that we're talking about today, is to take us from the Kenai Peninsula to Beluga or across the inlet. What GRIP 3, round two would do, and that would be to do an HVDC overhead cable 250 miles from Beluga to Healy. And Healy is where you split the lines going up into Golden Valley territory. That is a separate grant application that we actually filed this morning. The cost from Beluga to Healy is $730 million. It would be $365 million from the Fed. It would take a match of $365 million. And we have talked to the utilities, and we have had the conversation that not to necessarily look to the state of Alaska for that $365 million match. That would obviously be something that we would look to the utilities to bear those expenses. The reason being is primarily with the $206 million ask, that's a heavy lift already. We're focused on that, but this application was due today, and working with utilities, we do have letters of support for our application, and our board of directors did approve filing it. It by no means means that we have or will receive any funding for the round two funding. There are 50 applications, to my understanding, for about $3 million worth of funding, and we are one of 50 after we had just was very successful in winning the round one for $206 million or $413 million to then get $760 million a year later. It's going to be a challenge. There's a lot of interest in that, but that's the difference. It's the same, the HVDC project, taking it, but it is broken up into two distinct rounds, and those rounds are divided by the funding sources or by the two different buckets, two different rounds of funding through the federal government. I will say that the round two funding that we filed for today, it is our understanding that they will make an announcement in August or September of this year, whether we were successful in that round for that amount, different amount, or we were not successful at all.
So just a quick follow-up before we go to Representative Staff, and he may have the same question at the tip of his tongue, but just to make it crystal clear that were the $32.7 million to go forth in this year's budget, of course, be signed into law, will that in any way impact round two, whether it would that have any bearing that you can sort of discern at this time on round two application?
Mr. Chair, no, I do not see. We do not know who's going to be in the grading criteria. We don't know even if it's the same people that evaluated our first round that are grading our second round. But we've had conversations with the Department of Energy of where we are in our current round. The fact that the legislature and AEA has identified, or the governor's office has identified $32.7 million worth of funding, and that we are anticipated to have a grant agreement signed in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So we're meeting all of our deadlines for all the grant negotiations, but whether the funding for the next one is precipitate on the funding for this one, we've not had any indication from the Department of Energy that that's the case.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to make that very clear that there has been some sense down here that we needed to fund the entire $206 million or provide the match.
Does that answer your question?
It does. And I was just saying that there's been some sense here in Juneau that that it might be to our advantage to fully match $206 million this session. That might make us more competitive in round two.
Hello?
And I'm not hearing that from you, and I think that that's pretty clearly established that that's not the case. Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Edgman. Through the chair to Mr. Thayer. I don't know if Mr. Thayer is still online.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I wasn't for a while, but
so,
I'm back.
So just a couple questions for me. So I'm going to read an excerpt from a letter that I have from every single utility on the rail belt that they signed. And the utilities say, quote, additional funding would inform the Department of Energy that the state of Alaska is fully committed to the Rail Belt Innovation Resilience Project and would reinforce our delegation's advocacy for phase two. Both phase one and phase two are required to truly achieve a modern integrated regional system in a grid. All right, so I have a letter from every single rail belt utility that basically says, hey, based on the minimalistic level of funding that we have allocated toward this project, it's a bad look for the Department of Energy. So I'd just like you to maybe reiterate or tell me why all the utilities are wrong and the level of funding is adequate not to jeopardize our potential of receiving a second GRIP award, if you could, please.
Through the chair, I'm not saying the utilities are wrong. We've partnered together. We're the primary, AEA happens to be the primary applicant on both applications. We've worked very closely with the utilities on this application as well as the previous one. I understand their view that additional funding would be beneficial. to advocate, but from my position as the executive director of AEA, the governor has identified adequate funding for GRIP 1, or GRIP 3, round 1. We have not even addressed the GRIP 2 or the round 2 because we just submitted that application together as far as what type of funding award we might have. So, like I said, I'm not going to say that they're wrong. I'm not going to say that they're right. I understand the view of them, and I sympathize with that view. But right now, we have funding for at least the next 18 months to 2 years, what's been identified in the governor's budget. And I think it's probably a policy call between the governor and the legislature about what that funding level should be for the GRIP application.
Fault, Mr. Co-Chair. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Okay. Mr. Thayer's rep staff. I'll be very, very, very clear and very direct. I'm in a Fairbanks legislature. All I care about is getting that money, that matching money to upgrade the grid to Healy. That is what I care about. Okay. If we do not fund at, I'm not saying we should match the entirety of this year. I don't think we need to do that. But does this amount of money in any shape or form potentially jeopardize our ability to receive a second GRIP award? That's my question. Crystal clear.
Right. And through the chair, I don't believe it does.
Okay. I have another follow-up, Mr. Kocher. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Kocher. So did I hear you correct? And you said that the first tranche of money for stage phase A, we're going to send it out from the state in aid receipts, and the second award, if you were to receive it, is going to come directly from the utilities themselves, the $365 million. Did I hear that correctly, Mr. Thayer, through the chair?
Through the chair, yes. What's been identified is $12.7 million for UGF this year with a bond, with this has AEA has bonding availability. So our first round for this first round one would be $32.7 million. That is correct. As far as the second, as far as the application that was filed today, the application had a resolution from our board that indicated that we have that not to assume there's going to be a match from the state for $365 million. And the utilities are aware of that. Now, whether that's a topic for a future conversation, that is it. But that for us to submit the award today, our board wanted to make sure that we were not committing the state to literally hundreds of millions of dollars without having involvement by the governor's office and by the legislature on that commitment level for an application. But we've not, we don't know if we're going to be successful or not.
So, follow-up, Mr. Co-Chair. Through the chair to Mr. Thayer. Okay, Mr. Thayer, so did I hear you correctly and that you submitted the application for phase two and you told the Department of Energy, hey, don't count on the state for this match money. We're going to get it from the utilities. Is that accurate?
Through the chair, the grant application did not identify the source of funding. GRIP 3 round 1 required us to identify where the match would be coming from. But in this second grant, this round 2 application, that was not a question. So there was not a question of where the $365 million match would come from. So the application is silent on that, as it's not a require. It was not a question. There's a reference to the fact it would come from utilities and other sources, but not identified, nor was it required to be identified.
And last follow-up, Mr. Co-Chair. Yep, thank you, Co-Chair Edgman, through the chair, Mr. Thayer. So if you take the money from the utilities, who pays? Is that the consumer of the said utilities who actually will be paying for that match to do their upgrades on the intertie, or rather the direct current line?
Through the chair, Representative Stepp, that would be the rate payers of those utilities, subject to the approval of those. And if we receive the fund, and let's say we're successful in receiving the grant application and we do get funding at some level, that is definitely going to add a whole another level of conversation with all the utilities within their own boards and within their own general managers, including AEA, of what that would look like and what requirement is. But again, we don't know if we're going to even be successful before we even start those conversations. but it was just with the assumption that if we wanted to file this application, the understanding was not to naturally assume that the state was going to come up with $365 million. That's a call for the legislature and for the governor to make, not necessarily myself or my board.
So, Mr. Thayer, I think we do have a couple of, we at least have three hands raised around the table, but I wanted to sort of contextualize this conversation a little bit more. We have, give or take, about 2 weeks in this committee to work on the capital budget and then to send it forward to the floor. But I think it's incumbent upon us to get some kind of a more firmer response in terms of what's actually happening with the Federal Department of Energy and any of our counterparts back east relative to phase two, because as Representative Staff identified, he's certainly not the only legislator who has these concerns. I think we need to get a better, or perhaps a more firmer picture, if you will, relative to what we need to put in the capital budget before we send it on to the governor here in approximately a month or so. But that aside, in the queue, we have Representative Josephson, Galvin, Representative Ortiz, and Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Thayer, good afternoon. Just to be clear, the difference between $206 million and $32 million, the remaining $174 million, that is, and our application does reflect state responsibility effectively for that delta. Is that right?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, we identified that it would be utility, state match, or other to be identified. So in it, we identified multiple sources of funding. But right now, the amount of the funding is the 12.7 from UGF from the state, and the $20 million is from the bonds that actually the utilities are paying the debt service on the bonds.
Okay. Follow.
For the RIP 3 round one match.
Follow. Right. And I know these questions seem repetitive, but there's nothing in future GRIP applications in the scoring rubric where we benefit from having fully funded the $206 million.
Through the chair, you are correct. There is nothing in either application that requires it to be at 100% the first year. Yeah, the round one application wanted to have a line of sight in the sense of where that funding level, where that funding would come from, and that was omitted in the second application as far as identifying the line of sight other than acknowledging the need for the match.
Okay, and then finally, a follow-up. Is there any scenario, and I ask this because it's been posited by colleagues, that prior to finding funding sources for the remaining parts of this GRIP, the $174 million, that we go ahead and commence, and I don't recall, frankly, whether it was funding for the portion from Beluga to Healy or Healy to Fairbanks, but the question is the same either way. Is there any scenario where, notwithstanding we haven't fully funded this first tranche, that we should commence a second one?
Through the chair, if I understand your question correctly, you're looking about whether there should be money obligated from Beluga to Healy at this point, setting money aside. Is that the question?
Yes.
The answer would be no. Because we have made an application, we've not received an award, so we have nothing to match. And the application is in, and that is not a criteria for the round two, is the fact that there's any match or potential match that's already in hand. The application has been submitted, but again, it's just an application. We don't know, you know, I hope we're successful, but we don't know if we are. The only funding that we have in hand that we need a match for is the Kenai Peninsula over to Beluga for that 206.5. That's the match that we're working on today because we need to come up with that match because we have the federal funds. Providing the legislature give us this federal receipt authority, we have those federal funds available to us this summer.
Thank you.
And for the record, Representative Galvin has been with us for some time now. And Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Edgman, and I just have a couple of very, very quick questions for you, Director Thayer. Let's see. The first one is, was the deadline for the application today?
Through the chair, the application for the for our application from Beluga to Healy.
Yeah, for round two.
Yes, round two was due today, yes.
Okay, thank you. And I presume then typically you don't update applications. I don't know if they allow for that. If the capital budget changes and if there is a larger investment in this, is that something that is ever done through the chair?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, there is not an ability to change or update your application once it's submitted. And we did submit a fully compliant application of 147 pages, and we were limited by the number of pages that we could submit. And so we did submit that. That was in concert with all the utilities, all the railboat utilities taking part and help and assisting with us in those, in addition to contractors. And so we spent literally the last couple weekends and this weekend especially preparing it. But once it's submitted, it is submitted and it has been received.
Thank you very much. I just have two other very brief questions. The first one is, in your presentation, I believe it was on page second to the last one, you were going over the numbers very quickly, and you had mentioned 32.7. And then I believe what I heard was 43 million, but I presume it's really, if we're adding that 32.7 twice, so it's 65.4 million. Just want to clarify for the record.
Thank you for that. And I apologize, through the chair, I apologize if I was not clear. If the what's before you, the $12.7 million in UGF and the $20 million bonding, the 32.7, you just would double that as far as that's what is available from the federal government. They will match us dollar for dollar. They just won't go in front of us and match more, give us more money than we've already committed for or have in hand.
Understood. So, okay. Thank you very much. That clarifies that number. I think I may have just misheard you. One last question. And also in your presentation, you mentioned 50 applications for this round two. And I think you said $3 million, but I'm guessing you meant $3 billion of funding in all?
Through the chair, it is approximately $3 billion worth of funding. With my understanding is 50 people were invited to apply to make a final a formal application. We were one of 50. I do not know how many of those 50 actually applied, but the pool was 50 for $3 billion.
Thank you very much.
Any additional questions, comments from committee members? One last quick question, Director Thayer. What's the timeline in terms of getting a response to round two application?
Mr. Chair, they expect to make an announcement in the August-September timeline, which is in line to what they did last year when we were successful in the round one. This is the same time period. So late summer, we'll have a better idea whether we're successful or not on this grant application.
Very good. Really appreciate your time today. And this is a conversation that's obviously going to continue. And opportunity necessitates that we might actually have you before the committee before we move the capital budget on. But once again, thank you very much. Excellent give and take. And with that, we would like to move on to our second presentation today, and that's to hear from Director Sanders with OMB. While she is getting established, last Friday we had the historic, as it's been coined, sort of trade-off between the operating and capital budgets. So now we're beginning our discussions, initial discussions on the Senate capital budgets. And Ms. Sanders, great to have you here and really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Erdman, members of the House Finance Committee. Thank you for having me today. For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders. I am the Director of the Office of Management and Budget for the Office of the Governor. And today I'm going to provide a high-level overview of the Governor's capital budget request, including amendments that were transmitted to the legislature. And this will include both supplemental for fiscal year 2024 capital projects as well as 2025 capital project requests. With that, I will dive into the presentation. So beginning on slide two, we have provided a year-to-year, five-year comparison of capital budgets by funding fund group to provide the committee with just a reflection of the last several years' capital budgets. Each FY fiscal year 2021 through 2024 reflects both the capital budgets as passed as well as proposed supplementals that were provided by the legislature, including the 24 supplemental requests that's before the legislature. I will note the most significant changes do appear just at a brief glance in the federal area, as we've had increases in the state for the IJA and IRA federal packages, as well as increased in broadband. We'll talk about one of those requests that's in the governor's budget this year. And then as well, the GRIP presentation that was just provided by Executive Director Thayer. So significant investment in federal funds in the state of Alaska. And then the match component to go along with that. On the following slides, I'll walk through the details of the request. I'm happy to take questions regarding this high-level summary, but if there are none, I'll just continue moving forward. As we work through the presentation today, we've broken it into two parts. The first at the top notes the FY 2024 supplementals that have been presented to the committee. We broke it down in the presentation by date of each one of the supplemental packages. I have presented to the committee at each point of those presentations what is included in those supplemental packages. And I will highlight in detail as we go through. Most notable is the recent submission of amendments on April 9th, last week. There is a capital supplemental request that I will walk through in detail later on in the presentation. But as you can see, for 2024 supplementals, we have a total unrestricted general fund request of just over $27.7 million. And a total of $290 million when looking at all fund sources. At the bottom of the slide, we have the governor's fiscal year 2025 capital budget request, again, by each one of the dates, the initial release on December 14th with amendment packages following in February and March. Again, we had a release last week for April 9th that included two projects, and I will walk through those today. So the governor's capital budget for 2025 totals $297.4 million in unrestricted general funds and a total of $3.5 billion when combining all funding sources. So we will start with supplemental requests and walking through each one of the agency's requests. As you can see on this slide four, we have broken it down by department so that you can see what each department's level of supplemental requests is for. On slide five, I've provided a listing of those, and I will walk through them, if it's okay with the committee, from this slide, just so that there's a reference to each one of the departments. So, under the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, there are two notable projects in the supplemental capital budget. The first is a $5 million request for the Wrangell Dam safety and stabilization improvements. As you may be aware, there was a natural disaster landslide in the community of Wrangell in November 2023. That results that came to light that there were safety improvements that needed to be made to the dam in that community. So the governor's budget requests $5 million for the community to start work on that safety project. In addition, as was just noted by Executive Director Thayer, there is a request for the Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership Grant, or the GRIP grant. In the supplemental budget, we have the $206 million of federal receipts that were awarded to the state of Alaska. And then we have the first part of a three-part match. If you recall the table that was in Executive Director Thayer's presentation, we have three pieces where we have provided the GRIP match totaling $12.7 million. The first part of that is coming in 2024 from the ADA dividend. And that is noted by that $6,952,000 of unrestricted general funds on the slide. Then the Department of Corrections, we have a $3 million capital project to continue and finalize the Lemon Creek Correctional Center's renovation and floor repair. As the contractors have gone into the facility and started work, we've had unfortunately, increased costs due to unknown damage and the identification of hazardous materials, including lead paint, lead in water lines, and asbestos that needs to be addressed. This is anticipated to close out this project and be able to complete it here as they're working on it now. Within the Department of Family and Community Services, have a $1.4 million request that utilizes unspent payment assistant grant funds from in the operating budget to address deferred maintenance needs at the Alaska Pioneers Homes facilities throughout the state. This shows as a negative appropriation in the operating budget and an positive in the capital budget, but redirects those remaining lapsing funds to address needs in those facilities. Then the Department of Fish and Game, we have $3 million to retrofit a vessel for the Gulf and Bering Sea Research vessel. If you recall, in the original governor's budget on December 14th, there was a $7.5 million request to replace the research vessel Pantelis, as it was deemed unseaworthy and disposed of. Since that budget request was proposed, Fish and Game received an offer from Trident to transfer one of their vessels to the state of Alaska. The $7.5 million request is removed from the budget and has been replaced with $3 million for the Department of Fish and Game to be able to retrofit the vessel for seaworthiness. And so you'll see a negative removing that item, but a $3 million supplemental to start work on retrofitting it. In the Office of the Governor, we have our first noted item for April 9th amendments. So the Federal 2024 Appropriations Act passed Congress on March 24th, and it included $1 million of federal funding for an Elections Assistance Commission grant to the state of Alaska. This grant provides for activities to improve the administration of elections, as well as enhancing technology and making sure election security improvements are completed. There's a 20% match requirement for this, so $200,000. Those funds in the operating budget are deposited into the election fund, and we appropriate from the election fund in the capital budget. So you'll see a $1,250,000. What we have is $1 million in federal receipts, $200,000 in the state match, and then there is approximately $50,000 of interest earned that can be used towards those projects as well. In the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs, we have a fund source change. In the 2024 capital budget, there was an appropriation for state and local cybersecurity grant, matching federal funds with general fund program receipts. There are no receipts to be collected towards that match, so we have a request to replace those receipts with unrestricted general funds. In the Department of Natural Resources, there is a $2.2 million federal award for resilient food system infrastructure grants. This grant sub-award, or this grant provides sub-grants so that we can increase supply chain connections between farmers, processors, retailers, and distributors. So the Department of Natural Resources will grant out federal awards in hopes to increase processing capacity, increasing storage capacity for farmers, and creating new jobs. Lastly, in the Department of Public Transportation and Public Facilities, we have two projects. One is for the Alaska Marine Highway System vessel overhaul, annual certification, and shoreside facilities rehabilitation. Each year, there are many unanticipated needs that occur during the fiscal year to the vessels, and this request allows for several unplanned projects. So for example, there was an unanticipated need to retain the motor vessel Kennecott in overhaul status in the Ketchikan shipyard. This results in increased moorage costs and other expenses related to keeping it in that overhaul period. In addition, another example is for the Testamina. On October 11th, there was an emergency due to a shaft tube leak, and that required additional funding to address that need. The last request is $8 million for the Dalton Highway heavy maintenance. This is $8 million for the Department of Transportation to make improvements where there is significant deterioration on the road. This is an emergency situation to ensure that the trucks transporting in that area are able to continue to go back and forth, and this will provide Department of Transportation the ability to quickly respond to those maintenance needs on that road.
So. We have a question, Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is perhaps a first time on the committee question. I'm just trying to understand through the chair why these are capital supplementals when some of, so for instance, the grid money, that application wasn't done in FY20, it was awarded in FY24, but the funding is for FY25, but we're calling these supplementals. So is that because we have excess revenue in 24? I understand some of the projects, like the Lemon Creek Correctional Prison. It came in over budget for a previously appropriation, and there might, you know, one here is a reappropriation. But some of these are new projects, and why aren't they just FY25 capital request?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, that's a great question. When we evaluate each project, we ask several questions, and with the GRIP project, for example, there is work that is currently being done by AEA on this project. So with a supplemental appropriation, it allows an agency to get started as soon as possible in the current fiscal year instead of having to wait to make any expenditures until July 1. So the short answer is we try and evaluate when the work needs to be done. If it's a supplemental need, we try to identify things that need to get started sooner than July 1.
Okay. Can I do one follow-up?
Follow-up.
So on that, makes total sense. When we then look at the state's obligation to match those federal funds in the GRIP award over the next 6-7 fiscal years, I'm just trying to figure out how we, because we're calling it our FY25 match, but really it's FY24 that we're putting it in. So next year when we look at FY26 match, are we going to need to, are all of our dates when we're looking at that GRIP funding over a 7-year period really off by one, or does it not matter?
through the chair, Representative Hannon, I would say that we know that AEA needs to get started sooner than July 1. The supplemental that we've provided, the $6.5 million, is providing match for them to get started. But remember, capital projects have a five-year life expectancy. So this gives us a little bit of flexibility where they can start working now, utilize the funds that they need in the current year, but that will transition to the next year. We asked AEA when we were developing the plan to put forward, and was noted on that table, how much they expected to need for spending in each year. So yes, we talk about it as 25 on that chart, but really we came forward with the supplemental so that they could get started as soon as possible, but knowing that the majority of the work under that $32 million would start in the first year in 25.
Okay. And I think I also remember Director Thayer saying that the next 4 to 6 weeks was going to involve grant terms and so forth. So the timing seems apropos for it to be FY25,
right.
You know, under those terms.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the question you asked.
Yeah, because
some of this is pretty arcane stuff.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, because as you know, at our policy level, there's internal debate of do we need to put all 206 up now or how, and since in all the documentations, it's about each fiscal year. So the supplemental is kind of throwing me off as a factor to keep going that we already gave you some. So, yes, it may not show in the 25, but there was already $6 million given. And as we progress to bigger pieces of money to plant that seed, that the total started in FY24 supplemental.
All right. Fair enough. Not seeing any other questions.
All right, moving on to slide 6, we have provided an updated graph by department and by fund group, similar to what was noted earlier for the supplementals. This is just revised to include all of the amendment packages that have been put forward. So again, I'm going to move to slide number 7 to walk through each one of the department's significant items. As you all are very aware, there are a lot of capital projects, and in staying with trying to get through to a certain time frame in the committee, we have not listed every single project on this slide. I'm happy to answer questions if there are questions about other projects that I didn't note today, just summarizing significant items within the capital budget.
And can I interject real quickly? Are you going to delineate between those that are still in the budget before us or those that were taken up by the Senate?
Chair Edgman, I did provide an attachment for the committee. This is attachment number C in your packets. And what this does is it only identifies items that were in the governor's request that have been modified based on the Senate's version. It does not account for any items that were added by the Senate that weren't outside of the governor's scope. So, but attachment C does address that question. And I will try to note it where I can recall. That's okay. Right. So starting with the Department of Administration, the first project is $9 million in retirement receipts or that are classified as other, for the benefits and retirement system or BEARS enhancements. There was a recent ruling regarding retirement and calculations of retirements that resulted in modifications to the BEARS system. So the BEARS system is a new retirement calculation system. It was close to being completed. However, due to that change, we need to make significant IT enhancements to ensure that we're calculating retirements correctly. We have a $1 million request for the Office of Information Technology to replace aging infrastructure. So this is, for example, your server systems within the state and ensuring that we are replacing any outdated systems for reliability and ensuring that our security is in place. Lastly, we have a request of just over $2 million to expand and complete digitization of payroll services and recruitment. The Division of Finance has been working very hard to improve processes for our payroll. understanding that there's room for improvement and ensuring that our employees get paid. This is a continuation of a project that was being requested as a phased project. It started last year and provides them the funding to continue that project to completion. Within the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, we have one item for $1 billion that I noted earlier. This is a federal award for Broadband Equity Access and Development Program, or the BEAD program. It puts the federal receipt authority in the budget and allows for that program to move forward. We have the second portion of the GRIP match, and I apologize, there's a typo on the screen. It should just say Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership GRIP grant. Topic 3 rail belts was a carry forward error. I apologize for that and for any confusion. This is the second portion of the match from the FY 2025 dividend, ADA dividend, getting us to the $12.7 million that's requested for the match. There is a $5 million deposit in the governor's budget for the renewable energy projects that are granted out. So we capitalize the renewable energy grant fund in the operating budget, and then the governor's budget provides for a capital budget of $5 million for those round 16 projects. Just quick checking my notes real quick. I couldn't remember if that item was adjusted, and it was. It was changed to $4 million in the Senate version of the bill. Lastly, we have a governor's request of $2.5 million for a grant to the Alaska Travel Industry Association, or ATIA, and this item was removed from the capital version of the Senate's budget. Within the Department of Corrections, we have several capital projects totaling $10.9 million for statewide institution improvements. This is to address things like the perimeter fences and gates that are damaged and no longer operable. We have improvements for doors and windows that need to be upgraded and replaced. The Department of Corrections has been working to update or replace their backup power systems for security reliance in throughout their facilities, as well as replace all closed circuit televisions or CCTV systems in all institutions. Right now we have systems that are not compatible with one another throughout the facilities and that we need to be able to access that information very timely. And so there is an effort underway to do that. And Chair, you noted, mentioning again, there are two items that were removed by the Senate. It is $3 million for the statewide security doors and windows and $2.4 million for the security perimeter fences and gates upgrades. Also want to note that the project requests that were put forward for all of these we took a phased approach. So understanding that the Department of Corrections couldn't make all of the improvements in one year, we spread those requests out over a 3-year time period.
Quick question, Representative Gilvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Edgman, through the chair. Thank you. I have a very quick question. You mentioned that the 3.453 UGF for AEA will then bring it to the 12 million. And I'm finding the other amount to be 6.952, which gives me a total of 10.405. So where else is that? I'm sorry, I just didn't see it in there.
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, the third piece is a reappropriation from an older AEA project that was titled the 2012 AEA Project Upgrade and Extend to the Anchorage to Fairbanks Power Transmission Intertie to Teeland Substation. So there's $2.3 million in that project that is the third piece of the package.
That's it. Okay, so that's somewhere else buried in there. Perfect. Thank you. I know this is just highlight, so that makes sense. Thank you.
And last...
One more question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair Edgman. Through the chair, I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the $9 million for the Bears enhancement, because I thought that was a new system that, like you said, was almost done. $9 million sounds like we're starting over, or what's – can you give me any more details about that?
Through the chair, Representative Colomb. So, yes, this is a new system. There was a court case, and I apologize, I don't have that referenced off of the top of my head. But essentially there was a ruling that came out that requires significant modifications in the calculation. And so the department needs additional funding to make those modifications and complete the project. $9 million does sound like a lot, I would agree, but what we are finding is that with information technology systems, the costs are really significant. For example, there is another project in the list that you will hear about later for the Department of Revenue when we're talking about replacing the permanent fund dividend application system. Mm-hmm. Those projects are running approximately $20 million. So if $20 to $25 million is not unreasonable. I don't have in my notes today before me what the original appropriation is, but we can follow up with that.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Okay, so lastly, on slide 7, under the Department of Education and Early Development, the governor's budget included just under $4 million for the school construction grant program. This would have provided the remaining funding for the first project on the school ranking list, which was the Newtok K through 12 school relocation and replacement in Metarvik. And then there is $4.3 million for the major maintenance grant fund. This was providing funding for the first two projects on that school ranking list, which are the Craig School District, Craig Elementary Middle School Rehabilitation, and the Yukon Koyukuk School District, Alakadik. I am not going to pronounce that properly, so I apologize. Thank you. K through 12, this was a school copper pipe replacement. I will note that in the Senate's version of the budget, they did add additional funding for Minto and Oswell to Mount Edgecombe High School. So that was approximately an additional $8 million. And then they added Nelson Island School replacement for $21 million and Newtok for the $4 million. So there was some modifications to each one of these programs.
Okay.
All right, moving on to slide number 8, just highlighting again, there are several projects in the Department of Fish and Game. They have annually and reoccurring capital projects. Just noting two projects. One is $2 million for the continuation of stock identification and salmon harvested in the South Peninsula fisheries. This is a Western Alaska Salmon Stock Identification Program that sampled commercial and subsistence chum and sockeye salmon. And this was initially done from 2006 to 2009. And so this project provides a second round to update that information and build upon the data that they have in place. There's also $1.3 million unrestricted general funds to continue funding for the Alaska Marine Salmon Program. This is research efforts in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska and is an ongoing capital project researching the poor returns of salmon in Alaska. In the Office of the Governor, I've noted two items. One is $28.2 million from the Alaska Capital Income Fund. This is for statewide deferred maintenance, renovation and repairs across all state agencies. Several years now, there has been an appropriation to the Office of the Governor, and we work closely with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Council to rank and prioritize each department's deferred maintenance needs. And then through that ranking project process, we allocate funding to the priority projects. Providing one appropriation allows us flexibility if there are emergency needs that need to be addressed, and moving that ranking around when those emergency requests come through. The second item is a new item that was released in the April 9th amendment package, and this is $250,000 for elections voting booths. So this will provide a pilot project with the Department of Corrections. There have been inmates identified that will be constructing about 1,000 plastic voting booths. There are specific statutory requirements when it comes to the construction of voting booths, as well as the availability of voting booths. The current structure of voting booths are metal and extremely heavy and difficult to ship. So the correctional facility inmates will be developing this prototype to have a more of a lighter plastic model that can be shipped throughout the state and meets the requirements of the statute that are in place. Within the Department of Natural Resources, there is just over $3.5 million for silviculture treatments and pre-commercial thinning. This project will provide funding to purchase and plant commercial conifer seeds in areas where existing timber has been removed, as well as provide for pre-commercial thinning in southeast state forests. Thinning of overly dense areas in the forests will ensure rapid growth and response, resulting in high-value future timber sales, so allowing for investment in the timber area of the state. Within the Department of Public Public Safety, we have three requests. The first is $9.5 million for the patrol vessel enforcer replacement in Southeast Alaska. This vessel was currently taken out of service in December of 2022 due to design and construction flaws, as well as mold infestation. And this will allow the Department of Public Safety to replace that vessel. There is a
question.
Thank you, Co-Chair Edgman. My question through the chair is around the Department of Natural Resources funding for pre-commercial thinning. Is that related to fire suppression as well, or is it a whole separate issue?
Through the chair, Representative Edgman, I would have to defer to the Department of Natural Resources. I can follow up with you if that's okay.
That's fine. I just know we have a lot of line items related to that, and so I'm trying to get it all straight. Thank you.
On that note, because I was trying to mention them for the committee, that is one item that the Senate had removed from their version of the budget. The second item for the Department of Public Safety's is $6.2 million for a Pilatus aircraft acquisition. This aircraft has the ability to land in 96% of the 215 maintained airports across the state, increasing the ability for the Department of Public Safety to respond rapidly to incidents across the state. Lastly, there is a $4.7 million request for aircraft and marine vessel maintenance and repair. The Department of Public Safety has 44 aircraft, which require overhaul, repair, and replacement of components when they reach end of useful life. They also have 41 vessels, which require rebuild of small engines and components when they reach the end of their useful life. This is an item that is a reoccurring capital project due to the extensive needs for their vessels. All right, moving on to slide 9, We'll start with the Department of Revenue's first item on their list is a $25 million request. This is for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to stand up a down payment assistance grant program. This program will provide individuals earning a college degree or trade school certificate a grant from the state of Alaska to provide access to affordable housing. And this is estimated to provide approximately 1,250 households with $20,000 in assistance under that program. There is $62.7 million combined of unrestricted general funds, other receipts, and federal receipts for the various Alaska Housing Finance Corporation housing programs. This includes the Supplemental Housing Development Program, rental assistance for persons displaced due to domestic violence, senior citizens assistance, and rural professional housing programs for teachers, health workers, and public safety professionals. Lastly, as I noted earlier, we have a request for a replacement of the dividend application information system. This is also known as the DIAS system. This was an amendment that was submitted on April 9th. This is for phase one for the department to get started on going through an RFP process and providing funding to the contractor that is determined. Phase one provides initial funding that the department can essentially work to automate systems, as well as increase fraud detection, auditing, and analytics and reporting. This system that we have currently is reaching end of life, and as I noted, this would be a phase one of the project. The department and the administration will come back next year with phase two once the RFP is complete, with a complete total for the package. This is just allows the Department of Revenue to get started. Under the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, we have the $822 million for federal receipts for the Surface Transportation Program. In the packet, under Attachment D and E, as part of the April 9th amendment package, we removed all capital projects related to the STIP and replaced them with the approved list. So we have provided a copy of the approval letter from the U.S. Department of Transportation, as well as a list outlining each project and the change that was submitted in that amendment package. We also have the Department of Transportation here in the room and online. If you'd like to take questions regarding the STIP now, or we can wait till the end.
Let's see. I think we've got, I'm going to say about 20 some odd minutes left.
Okay.
For about more or less hard stop. So I would say yes for the STIP. I'm going to kick things off.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just have a really quick one either to the OMB director or to the DOT commissioner if he's online through the chair. Ms. Saunders, do we ever tell the federal government regarding our highway match that our state matching funds might not be available in the event that we receive federal highway funds?
Thank you, Chair, Representative Staff. I'm going to call on a lifeline. Dawn Panone wants to come to the table and can help talk through what is shared. Great.
For the record, Dom Pannone, Director of Program Management and Administration at the Department of Transportation, through the chair to Representative Staff. What we do tell the Federal Highway Administration in our STIP is we're required to demonstrate fiscal constraint and availability of matching funds. So in our statewide transportation improvement program, which is our four-year document, we do demonstrate that we, the state, will put up matching funds for the revenues that are available.
Okay. just a quick follow, Mr. Kutcher. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Kutcher Foster, through the chair, Mr. Pannone. Okay, I just want to make it clear that we, when we ask for federal highway matching dollars for a step, we do actually guarantee that we will match them with state funds. Thank you.
Additional questions? Is there more?
Thank you. I just have a very general question. If you could give us the overview of what happened since the last time you were here. There were a lot of questions around whether or not we had followed the right notice and things like that related to getting federal funds. And I haven't tracked it. I've been tracking other things and wondered if you could give us a brief update on that, if that's okay through the chair.
Just a general update.
All right. Through the chair, Representative Galvin. So we were here on February 28th of this year, the commissioner and I, presenting our update on the STIP. That was 2 days before we submitted a final version on March 1st. It's a leap year. So we got approval on March 27th of the STIP. And in the original planning finding from the Federal Highway Administration, they had broken out the concerns into Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Tier 1 were the concerns required for us to get STIP approval. And we largely addressed all of the Tier 1 findings from the Federal Highway Administration. A few of those, when we got our final approval, were noted as partially solved and moved to Tier 2. The Tier 2 findings that we need to address, we're going to be working on those in the next 6 months, and they have to be addressed before we amend the STIP again. So then the Tier 3 findings were largely notational and commentary. We addressed the Tier 3 concerns when we resubmitted the STIP, but the Federal Highway did not have time to review whether or not they had been addressed. So as we're not concerned with the Tier 3 findings, we believe we've resolved all those and don't have to apply them to an amendment.
So any additional comments or questions from new members?
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair and director, I apologize for the 101 question, but as to the West Susitna access, that is on the STIP. And approved, quote unquote, by Department of Transportation, but we're funding just $20 million, even though the project needs at least four times that much at some future date. So it's two questions. Does the STIP, and I haven't sat on DOTPUF's subcommittee or standing committee, so I'm sorry, but does the STIP reflect that the federal government acknowledges this project and approves it, or what does it mean relative to West Susitna?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson. So the West Susitna project that was approved in our STIP is for a public road. The amount that we're requesting in the governor's budget is for $20 million. They did approve federal highway funds for that public road. It's a 24-foot wide road. And I would ask, with the chair's permission, to have our central region director speak to the rest of the question. Sean Holland.
Mr. Holland?
Hi, through the chair. For the record, this is Sean Holland, Department of Transportation Central Region Director. And for clarity, in the STIP, there are two line items for the West Susitna Access Road. One of them is for that $18 million. I expect it's the $20 million that you referenced. There's another one for $58 million and change. And the plan is to phase that so that, I would say mostly so that we can build ourselves access out to the rivers to build those bridges. Design is scheduled to start this summer, and then construction as early as next summer. The crux of that is the environmental process, but we're going to get started on that right away.
quick follow-up. I guess my question is, are all the projects that are funded by this budget and approved by the federal government, do they take you just to the Susitna River, or do they take you on the west side of the river and up into the mountains to the northwest?
Yep. Through the chair, Sean Holland, the terminus is on the other side of the Susitna River for those two projects combined.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I don't see any more mics raised. Comments, questions from committee members. So I think that concludes today's business. I'm looking over at the staff table. Brief at ease. Back on the record, my error. Apparently, we have one more page to go on the presentation. Ms. Anders, if you don't mind just going through that quickly, please.
Yep, absolutely. Remaining under the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, we've got the Federal Receipt Authority associated with the Rural Ferry Grant Program, $92 million for the award from the feds, and then the match component, $23 million, utilizing toll credits for the match, and we have received approval for that. We have two separate projects that are fully funded with unrestricted general funds, $4.3 million for the Copper River Highway Wood Canyon Bridges and Trails projects, and $2.7 million for the Williamsport-Iliama intermodal connector. Those two projects are specific projects in their area that do not have federal matching funds to them, so they are specifically general funds, but allow the Department of Transportation to move forward on those projects. If there are questions, I'm happy to go into detail on those. Lastly, we have $2.5 million for PFAS, fleet-wide foam replacement. This project will allow for a phased approach at addressing PFAS in the equipment at the airports, and replacing those systems so that they are no longer PFAS solution being used. Under the University of Alaska, we have $1 million for the Alaska Center for Energy and Power. This is an energy data storage and access revitalization project following the recommendations of the Alaska Energy Security Task Force. AESEP would work with other state agencies to develop and implement a data governance strategy. In the next item, we've got the third year of the University of Alaska's drone program. This is $10 million that's split between unrestricted general funds and university receipts, and continues testing operations to support a full integration of drones with traditional aircraft and develop a workforce needed to support this emerging industry. There is $11.1 million for the University of Fairbanks for the Rail Belt Carbon Capture and Sequestration Project. This is a State of Alaska and University of Alaska Fairbanks submitted an application to the U.S. Department of Energy to enable a wide-scale deployment of carbon capture and storage by assessing and verifying the feasibility of the proposed storage complex in the South Central Alaska area for safe and cost-effective commercial sales. The U.S. Department of Energy requires a 20% match commitment, which is the $2.2 million of unrestricted general funds. Lastly, and I know this item was discussed in the operating budget, so I'll just be brief on it. We have $20 million, $10 million of unrestricted general funds, and $10 million of university receipts for the University of Fairbanks to achieve Research One status that they're working towards.
Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Coach Edgman. obviously this was the governor's. Will we get an updated one of what was removed out of here? Because I know some of this stuff is no longer in the Senate version.
Through the chair, Representative Kroc, I would defer folks to look at Attachment C in your packet. That's where you'll be able to see what the governor has and what the Senate changed.
Thank you.
And we'll also be getting a presentation from committee staff on Monday for the Senate's budget. Comments, questions, committee members? All right, that takes us to the first 2 hours, the next 2 hours. Thank you, Ms. Sanders. Really appreciate the update and for the conversations, I'm sure. All right, so our next scheduled House Finance meeting, the gavel will be turned over to Representative Foster. Will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll continue energy legislation by House Bill 257, Cook Inlet Seismic Data, the second hearing on the bill. And with that, and seeing no additional action before the committee, we will adjourn and talk to the 2024.